Time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and we're in the midst of a lesson about the conversion of Cornelius. We're looking at it from the standpoint of Acts chapter 11, where Peter explained to the apostles in Jerusalem what had taken place when he was in that household. He had been charged with going into the Jews. And in verse 5, he began his explanation of what had occurred. And we're going to pick up that Sunday school lesson there at that point in just a moment. First, I need to remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school, and we're studying Sunday school lesson notes that were written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of June the 7th, 1925. And here's what we read in those notes. Peter became hungry and desired to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. Acts 10, 9 and 10. He was transported out of himself, and his mind was drawn off from all the surrounding objects and fixed on these divine things which he saw with his spiritual eyes, not his fleshly eyes. The vision was a great sheet let down from heaven by the four corners as it fastened by the cords, and it came even to him let down upon the earth. Acts chapter 10 and verse 11. It contained all manner of four-footed beasts and creeping things of the earth and birds of the heaven, Acts 10 and verse 12. And though in a trance, Peter still felt the force of hunger. And the Lord said to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." His hunger was appealed to. But Peter replied, "Not so, Lord." Peter did not mean to refuse to obey God, but he declined to gratify his appetite by eating anything common or unclean. He meant obedience to God, for he knew God had forbidden the eating of certain animals and fowls, and he did not first take in the thought that God was abrogating the law of distinction between the clean and the unclean animals. But the boy said, "What God hath cleansed, make not thou common." Now this was done three times, which impressed this truth upon Peter and corresponded to the three messengers. The repetition of this three times assured Peter that this was not just an idle dream he was having, but a communication from God. Peter thought seriously over this and did not at first understand its meaning. But it was all made clear by the coming of those three messengers from Cornelius and the command of the Spirit to go with them, nothing doubting. He himself states what he understood it to mean. "God hath shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean," Acts chapter 10 and verse 28. God had arranged it so that the messenger should reach Peter just at the right time, as Philip had reached that part of the road where the eunuch was just in time to catch him. Peter did what he did by the direction of the Holy Spirit, and so it was God who received the Gentiles, not Peter. He was only the means or the instrument in God's hands to do this important work. Peter took six Jewish brethren with him to Caesarea as witnesses. Then he took them to Jerusalem, for he knew, it seemed, that his course would be called in question. And so he rehearsed the vision of Cornelius and why Cornelius had sent for him. And he told him in Acts chapter 11 and 14, "Whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved." They were going to be saved by words. These words were the gospel, showing Cornelius how he and his household should believe in and obey Christ to be saved. Well, Cornelius feared God, and he believed in Jesus when he heard Peter, and he and his household were baptized in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 10, verses 47 through 48. Notwithstanding his devoutness, fasting, prayers, alms, justice, and the vision of an angel, he was not saved. He must hear the words of Peter, the gospel, that he might be saved. This is the first mention of household baptism. Were any infants baptized there? Listen, this house feared God. They were his kinsmen and near friends. Those of this house heard the word. These are the ones that were baptized with the Holy Spirit and in water. There could have been no infants in this number. They would not have heard and believed and repented. They would have not have understood what was taking place. Peter compares what happened with the household of Cornelius and the outpouring of the Spirit on that day with what happened to the apostles on Pentecost. That's what happened when the apostles received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. He calls the day of Pentecost the beginning. It was the beginning of the preaching of repentance and of remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ among all nations, Luke 24, 46, and 47, under the Great Commission, are the beginning of the reign of Jesus in heaven over his spiritual kingdom, the beginning of the church in its completion. God had purposed and planned to save the race, and had prophesied and promised the coming and sacrifice of Jesus, and now all had come to pass, and Christ reigns in heaven. Peter said to those present with him on the time of Cornelius, "What was I that I could withstand God?" Had he not gone, he would have withstood God. This is Peter's defense. He showed that he himself first had to be convinced that he should go, and that he had done so under the guidance of God. But after all this, Peter once relapsed and dissembled and refused to eat with the Gentiles in Galatians 2, 11 through 14. That illustrates just how difficult it was for the Jews to accept the fact that the Gentiles were subject to the gospel just as they were, and the Gentiles could hear, believe, repent, confess their faith in Christ, and be baptized for the remission of sins, and subsequently added by God to his church, just as were the Jews. Satisfied that Peter had acted in obedience to God, and that God had accepted the Gentiles, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, "Then if God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." They were convinced by the word of God, and gave up their preconceived opinions, and rejoiced in the reception of the Gentiles. This is a fine example for us to follow now. Let us, in the first place, be open to conviction, and then convinced by the word of God that we have been mistaken. Let us cheerfully give up preconceived notions and cheerfully accept the truth and become of one mind and one heart in the one body of Christ. It is most remarkable and most worthy that these apostles and other Christians at Jerusalem did not start up a Jewish faction and a Gentile faction in the church. God granted the Gentiles repentance unto life, and that he opened the way for them to be taught repentance and allowed them to repent and enjoy the blessings of repentance. That brings us to the end of that Sunday school lesson. I turn the page and I see that there is another lesson that we'll begin now about the church at Antioch. And these are the Sunday school lesson notes that were prepared by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of June the 14th, 1925. The lesson text is Acts 11, 19 through 30. They therefore that were scattered abroad upon the tribulation that arose after Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to none save only to the Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number that believed turned to the Lord. And the report concerning them came to the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas as far as Antioch, who, when he was come, and had seen the grace of God, was glad. And he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man, and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And much people were added to the Lord. And he went forth to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that even for a whole year they were gathered together with the church, and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians, first in Antioch. Now in these days there came down prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them, named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great famine over all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius. And the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren that dwelt in Judea, which also they did, sending it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. The golden text for this Sunday school lesson is Acts chapter 11 and verse 26. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. The devotional reading is the 96th Psalm. Oh, sing unto Jehovah a new song. Sing unto Jehovah all the earth. Sing unto Jehovah, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is Jehovah, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are idols. But Jehovah made heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe unto Jehovah, ye kindreds of the peoples. Ascribe unto Jehovah glory and strength. Ascribe unto Jehovah the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Oh, worship Jehovah in holy array. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, Jehovah reigneth. And the world also is established that it cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the field exult and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood sing for joy before Jehovah. For he cometh to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness, and the peoples with his truth. And with that, we begin our study of the church in Antioch. I notice there's a lot of churches today that call themselves Antioch, and I suspect they do so because the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Antioch was situated on the river Orontes, about 16 miles from its entrance to the Mediterranean Sea. It would be there protected from raids coming out of the sea by pirates, and that protection helped it to be a prosperous city. It was about 300 miles north of Jerusalem.